You guys sound kind of empty without your husbands around. What's going on with that? You guys look good today. You look real good. Some of you don't look too good, but hey, it's all good, right? It's all good. Hey, I'm super excited to be in this new series, Where is the Love? As Pastor Nidra so eloquently put it, where is the love? You know, my wife is like, what are you doing? Hey, it's good to have my wife in here. My wife is, she's 5'9", brown skin, super fine, and all mine. And I will pay for that when I get home. Hey, so I'm just super excited about this series that we're in, Where is Love? We're praying that this series is a culture changer for our church for the next few weeks as we just dive into Luke chapter 15 and just really learn about what Jesus is saying to us when it comes to us reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. And so, hey, I was praying for this, and I'm praying that that this morning that we all may leave here with this in mind, that we may leave here with one person that we can tell Jesus to. And so we pray that's the case for you. So let's pray. Jesus, we pray, God, that you may use this word, Lord God, to edify your body. We pray, God, that we may be a people who are all about those who are lost around us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Well, Brittany and I, my wife and I, we dated for almost 7 years before we got married. We met in college. We met in high school. We were high school sweethearts, and we dated all the way through college. We were long distance for 4 years when I was in college in Florida and she was in school up in the Chicago, Illinois area. And so we always, when Valentine's Day came around, what's happening this upcoming Friday? Any spouses, you got plans, right? You got plans, spouses? Oh, it's kind of quiet in here. We're going to have a lot of mad ladies on Friday night. So anyway, so whenever Valentine's Day came around, especially when we were dating, it was a big deal for me, right? You know, just trying to impress my lady, trying to make sure that she knows that I love her and that I want to be with her, and I just want to celebrate her during that time. Well, anyways, our first year of marriage, like I say, we dated for a while. So, you know, Valentine's Day became kind of old. So our first year of marriage, I thought that I don't have to celebrate Valentine's Day anymore. You know, because we're married now, you know? Hey, every day is Valentine's Day, baby. You know what I'm saying? And so our first Valentine's Day as a married couple, we were living in Lakeland, Florida. I'm not sure if my wife even remembers this, but we were, oh man, it was pretty bad because I forgot about it. It was, it was about 9 o'clock at night. I'm getting ready to go to bed. You know, I'm tired. It's on Valentine's Day, and my wife kind of gives me those eyes. You know those eyes that stab you? But you know what I'm talking about? Those eyes that are like, ooh, it just hurts. It just hurts. So anyway, she gave me those eyes. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, what did I do now? Like, did I not clean the bathroom or something? Did I leave the toilet seat up or something? Like, what did I do? And it hit me that I forgot to celebrate Valentine's Day with her, although we were married. I ended up having to make that up. But we've all had moments in life where people that we expect to be loved from didn't love us. And sometimes we kind of lift our hands up and say, hey, where is the love? Where is it? You know? And honestly, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus is doing the same thing. He's lifting his hands up to the religious people, to the church people of that day, and saying, hey, where is the love? Are you loving people around you? And I believe that Jesus is speaking to us the same thing, saying, where is the love? Let's pray. Jesus, I pray as we dive in your word, would you be with us, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to look at Luke chapter 15 and read the first couple of verses as we dive into this passage of scripture. It says this, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes, they grumbled, saying this man receives sinners and he eats with them. Now, in this moment, this is on the Sabbath day. This is kind of towards evening time, but it's still pretty hot and muggy outside at this time. And in modern-day Palestine, that's kind of usually the temperature of that time. And so it's on a Sabbath day, and they're there, and all these sinners and tax collectors come near to Jesus, right? And so Jesus is about to preach to them, about to love on them, and the Pharisees and the religious people had an issue with this. Number one, because it was a Sabbath day, and on a Sabbath day, if you were in church, you don't tell no one about God, right? If you're in church, you don't heal people. On a Sabbath day, you don't do anything that's really religious or good on a Sabbath day. So what the religious people thought. And so they were there, and these tax collectors start coming. And we all know what tax collectors are. They were the people who were entrusted by the Roman government, and their job was to go around and tax people 10%, right? They used to go around and tax people 10%, but the tax collectors, they went around and they taxed people 50%, and they kept the 40% and gave the 10% to the Roman government. And so all the Jewish people knew about how mean and how bad these tax collectors were. I mean, we can understand that the reason why the church people didn't like tax collectors because they were bad people. I mean, they were upper middle class people, and they survived and they thrived off cheating people. They were really mean. And so as the people and as the tax collectors came to Jesus, they had issues with these people because in that time, tax collectors, they took from the church too. They used to tax the church, the temple, and lots of ministries and lots of churches were not built because of the tax collectors. The religious people didn't like tax collectors, but I like what the scripture says. It says, and tax collectors and sinners. See, tax collector, we can understand that. Oh, we can. Those people are mean, those bad people. But it says, and sinners drew near to Jesus. And the religious people had a hard time with that. I think that what Jesus is trying to show us in this passage today is that we all are people that need to be searched for. And here's the deal. The Pharisees, they didn't realize this. The religious people didn't realize this, that they too were sinners. In fact, they wasn't cognizant of Romans chapter 3, verse 10 that says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Or Romans chapter 3, verse 23 that says, for we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all are sinners. We all have our issues. And the religious people, they separated themselves from the sinners. And I believe that is the first thing that we can do to really not be and share the love of Jesus is when we separate ourselves from people who don't know Jesus. When we think that there's something inherently good inside of us, that it's only by the grace of Jesus in which you and I, we stand here today, it's only by the grace of God in which we're able to worship God, it's only by his grace. And when we separate ourselves, like the religious people did in that day, we begin to have a reproach towards the lost. In fact, we don't begin to want to reach the lost. And so all these lost people have surrounded Jesus. And he's getting ready to help them out. He's getting ready to heal them. But then these Pharisees begin to have issues with that. And I believe that today and in today's church, we have issues with people who don't know God. In fact, if a homosexual couple come walking inside this service holding hands, how would you feel? Like, how would you feel if someone who was so anti-God come and walking in this building? We would be like, I'm just not sure this is the place for him. Do they know where they're at? You know, because here's the deal, because we have this inherently thing inside of our minds that lost people shouldn't be close to Jesus. But Jesus comes to break all that. In fact, here's the deal. Beginning in verse 8 of this passage, verse 8, we're going to look at the woman who lost a coin. It says this, oh, what a woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp, sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she finds it, she will call together all her friends, her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the lost coin. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So Jesus is having this issue with the Pharisees. So he begins to tell them one parable that's broken up into three parts. And we just read one part. And so Jesus wanted to use these stories as an illustration to the religious people so that he can motivate them to reach out to lost people. And he wants to motivate them to love people because at this moment, they have no love. He's saying to them, where's the love? So he tells them the story about this woman who loses a coin. And I love how Jesus, he starts off by telling a story and using a woman as an illustration to his story. And that by itself is a really big deal. It's a really no-no to the religious people of that time. Because why would you use a woman, someone who is not qualified to be in ministry? Why would you use a woman, someone who's not qualified to love people? Why would he use a woman as an illustration to help out the Pharisees and the religious people? Why? Because he wants you, us to know that we are called to be searchers and love people who are lost, no matter who we are, no matter if we're male, no matter if we're female, no matter if we're black or white, no matter if we're young, no matter if we're old, no matter who we are or what stage of life we're at, God has called us to be searchers for people who are lost. And so in that day, the Pharisees and religious people are like, hey, you don't want to use a woman. They're not qualified enough. Because they're not smart enough. They're not good enough. And all the time, we use excuses of why we don't want to share the love of Jesus Christ with people around us. All the time. We always use excuses. Hey, this is not my thing right now. Hey, I'm older, taking care of my family, taking care of my elderly spouse, or taking care of my elderly family member, parent. Just, I don't have time for that. Hey, I'm a single mom, and I just got a lot going on. I got to take care of my kids. I got to work. I got to do this. Just don't have time for it. Hey, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I just don't have time for it. I'm here with the kids all the time, taking care of them. That's not my thing, Pastor Travis. And what God was saying to the religious people, it doesn't matter what's your thing right now. You're called to be a searcher. You're called to reach out to people as my newborn gives me an amen and praise God. So the Bible says that, so a woman, she has 10 coins and she loses one. Now this is pretty big for in that time. If anybody who lived in that time would know what Jesus was talking about, but we don't because we don't live in that time. But here's the deal. When a woman was married, they did not have a ring to identify them being married. In fact, in that day, you would have a necklace with 10 coins on it, and you would wear it around your head, and that would be the identification that you were married. And so if you didn't have these on, you were not married. In fact, if you lost one or if you broke your necklace as a married person, as a married woman, you would be really in trouble. Sometimes they would condemn you. Sometimes they would just really make you feel embarrassed. I mean, it was a really big deal. And sometimes your husband would leave you if you broke your necklace. And so this woman, she has these 10 coins, which was a necklace, and she broke one coin off inside her house. And she's really having an issue with this. And the Pharisees, I can imagine the Pharisees and the religious people, while Jesus is telling this story, I can imagine what they're saying. Like, oh my goodness, she lost a coin? She better find it. She better find it before her husband comes home. She better find it right now. She better fix it. And Jesus is trying to show us the reality of the situation that when something is lost, especially a coin on a chain, it's a really big deal. That coin by itself didn't really mean much, but to that lady, it meant a lot. It's really valuable to her. And honestly, here's the deal. A lot of us, when we look at lost people around us, they're not really that big of a deal to us. They're not like, it's not like we lost something that's precious to us. And this woman, she's lost this coin. And she's having a hard time with this because it's really valuable to her. It means a lot. I was 9 years old, and we did a family vacation, and we went to Tampa, Florida. I was living in Miami, Florida at this time. And I went to Tampa, Florida, went to Busch Gardens in Tampa. And we love Busch Gardens, went there every year. And there was this one ride that we used to love to ride. It's called the Kumba. And we used to get on the Kumba and just ride this roller coaster. So we stopped in the middle of our day at Busch Gardens to have lunch. And we were having lunch, and I realized that, hey, I want to ride the Kumba again. And so I told my mom, said, hey, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, but really I was going to go ride the Kumba. So I said, hey, Mom, can I go to the bathroom? She said, sure, baby, go ahead. Go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom. I went around the corner, and I ran full speed. I'm like, YOLO, Kumba. You know, it was having a hard time. So I went to go ride this ride. It took about 30 minutes for me to wait in the line and ride the ride. And so I come back to the place where my family was having lunch. I come back, and they're not there. I'm like, what should I do? So I went back to the Kumba and rode it again. Well, that's what you do, you know what I'm saying? So honestly, I went back to the Kumba, I had a great time. My mom at this time she's frantically looking for me. She's going out of her mind. So by this time, it's evening. It's about like 2 hours. It was 2 hours later. And I'm walking towards the entrance because it's night, it's dark time, it's night outside. I'm like, I probably should go to the entrance and tell somebody I'm lost. So I'm walking towards the entrance, and out of nowhere, someone just tackles me. Just, and it was my mom. And let me preface this what I'm about to say next. My mom's an FBI agent, okay? My mom tackles me. Boy, what are you doing? Why are you lost? And so I've been looking for you all day. You ruined my whole vacation. I'm like, I'm sorry, you know? Like, my mom could not have fun. She could not enjoy rides. In fact, recently, look at these big old turkey legs at Busch Gardens. They are awesome. She didn't even have a turkey leg because she was so busy looking for me. Because I meant a lot to her, you know? She could not enjoy anything until she found me. And I believe that God wants us to look at lost people the same way, that we may begin to search for them. We can't really do life normal without searching for the people that we know that do not know Jesus. Oh, a woman, she has 10 coins. She loses one. Does she not, the Bible says, light a lamp? Now, The Greek word for this lamp is, it's a real small lamp, really in that day, you didn't really want to, oil was not that easy to get. It was really expensive, so you only lit your lamp when you absolutely had to light your lamp. You only lit your lamp when you wanted to really find something. You only lit your lamp when you really, really needed it. So in this time, the religious people are looking at, hearing this story, she lit the lamp. She didn't ask her husband to find it. She's using that oil up? Are we willing to give up our own resources, personal things, to find the lost? There's this girl 2 years ago. She went on our mission trip to Honduras, and she was a senior in high school, and she told her parents that I want to backpack Europe. When I graduate high school, before I start off college, I just want to backpack Europe. That's always a dream of mine. So the parents said, hey, if you save X amount of dollars, hey, you can do this. It's going to be a great time. And so she began to do odd jobs around her grandparents' house, and she got a little job, a little part-time job, and just working really hard, and she saved that amount of money. And then she went to an FCA, a Fellowship for Christian Athletes, Bible study, and she began to hear the minister, the guy who was speaking, say, hey, sometimes you got to give up your own personal resources to reach those who are lost. So right then the Holy Spirit spoke to her, and she said, I need to give up my money that I was going to backpack Europe to go on a mission trip to tell people about Jesus. This girl, she gave up something so she can find that coin. You know, what are we willing to give up, you know? I mean, sometimes it might be our time that we need to give up. Sometimes it may be our reputation that we need to give up. But whatever it may be, God is saying it's worth it because the coin is so valuable to him. In fact, we are valuable to God, and that's why I love this passage of Scripture. I just begin to praise God in this passage of Scripture. You know why? Because I just know this, that I was that lost coin. That he searched for me. He found me. I just began to praise God for that. I'm like, that's awesome. You know, I was preparing for the sermon, and there's this, I was every single day, you know, I'm working in the office. You know, they got UPS man. We always got packages coming here to church. and I was working in the office, and I was preparing for this sermon, and there's this man. He works for FedEx. He's a bald head, black guy with his huge beard, just huge beard. And he comes in the office, church office, about 2 times a week, I think. And guys, I can be honest with you, I've never told him about Jesus. I guess he didn't mean that much to me. I guess his story, his destiny, did not mean that much to me. And the religious people can relate to me in this time because Jesus is literally surrounded by people. It's a great opportunity for lots of people to come to faith. It's a great opportunity for people to know Jesus, and they're bickering, and they have this reproach towards Jesus, and because they just don't mean, those sinners, those tax collectors, just didn't mean much to the religious people. So they were able to pass them by every single day and just do life like it's normal because they didn't mean that much to them. Oh, suppose a woman who has 10 coins and she loses one. Does she not light her lamp and pick up a broom? Hey, I love this passage of scripture because here in this time, houses were built out of mud. And so there are mud houses and mud floors. And sometimes and oftentimes they used to put hay on top of the mud, just kind of soften up the floor a little bit. So during this time of the year, it's really hot outside in Palestine, and sometimes the heat from the sun would make the mud really mushy on the floor. So, it's real damp mud, and on top of that, there's hay, right? And so this lady, she's in this dark little mud house that the only source of light is the opening of the house, and it's completely dark. She has this little small little lamp trying to find it. So she realizes that's not good enough, so she picks up her broom, and she begins to sweep through all the mud, through all the hay. She's looking for that little small coin that she can put back on her chain, on her necklace. And I begin to realize that sometimes in life, we need to sweep through things to find people who are lost. I'm so glad God swept through all my judgment towards people. God swept through all my sin. He swept through all my nastiness, and he found me. And God is saying he wants you to sweep through people's lives to find them. And sometimes, guess what? You might get dirty doing it. You just might. Suppose a woman, she has 10 coins and she loses one. Does she not light her lamp, pick up a broom, and she begins to search? The Bible says, the ESV says she searches diligently. She begins to search with passion. Like my mom, when she was looking for me, she began to search like her life depended on it. And it was funny. I was a couple years ago, I was at my previous church, and one of our staff members were asking another guy who was, he was in a Coast Guard, and he was stationed, he was a rescue person. And so he was stationed in Alaska for about 3 or 4 years. And so the other pastor asked the guy, said, hey, so how do you look for people? How do you search for people when you're out, you get the call that someone's drowning in the sea? What do you do? How do you look? Is there a way you look? He said, yeah, they teach you in school and training that you look like this way for 30 seconds. Then you turn around, look that way, and you come back and you look this way for 30 seconds. But for the people who's been in there for 20 years plus, they don't really look that way. They look like they were in the water, drowning. And that really stuck with me because literally these Coast Guard people, they search for the lost people as if it was them that was drowning. What if we do that? What if we can put ourselves in other people's shoes and it's like, hey, I'm searching for people who are lost like if I was lost. Wow. It would change everything about life. It would change everything about our really response to really telling people about God. It would change everything about how we relate to people. Because that could be me. That my boss who has a hard time, who's mean all the time, who don't know God, and just, that could be me. That lady who was abused as a kid, who's walking around with this hatred towards men, that could be me. The guy, the FedEx guy who probably has kids, and he probably don't know how to raise his kids because he don't have any great men in his life, that could be me. God, help me search for people as if I was lost. Suppose a woman, she's has 10 coins and she loses one. Does she not light her lamp? Does she not pick up a broom and search diligently until she finds it? I love this part because it says until she finds it. You mean, God, you expect me to actually find them? Yeah. Yeah. You mean, God, you want me to actually find? So you don't want me to just kind of maybe go help out at the outreach, you know, every now and then. Oh, God, you just want me to kind of, you know, try to help people every now and then. No, I want you to find them. And I began to realize, man, God, I just need to find people in my life. I need to find them. I don't need to just search, but I need to continue to search and sweep through the hay and sweep through the nice, nasty mud. I need to continue to do it until I find it. You know, it was funny. My grandmother, she used to pray for us every day. I mean, and literally, my grandmother was a teacher, and so my mom used to drop me off to my grandmother's house before school started, and my grandmother just take us to school, and because the high school, the elementary school, the middle school is all in this kind of same area, so my grandmother used to pray for us every single day, and she used to put anointing oil on our head. So literally, we went to school looking like a big piece of chicken, like greasy chicken. I was like, Grandma, come on, you gotta pray for me again today. I'm trying to get this girl. Come on, you got this, you know. So literally, so I talked to my grandmother the other day, and my brother. And she prayed all this. She prayed the same prayer. God, I pray that my kids get to know you, Jesus. Pray that my kids. And she called us her kids. She's my grandma. She called us her kids. And she has 22 grandkids. And she prayed for all her kids. I pray that they know Jesus. I talked to my grandmother the other day, my brother who does not know Christ yet. She says, I'm still praying for him. She's still searching. And she won't stop until she finds him. Suppose a woman, she has 10 coins and she loses one. Does she not light the lamp? Does she not pick up the broom? And does she not search diligently until she finds it? And when she finds it, she rejoices. And I tell you this story because there will be more rejoicing in the presence of the angels. That's awesome because you think about that scripture because the Bible doesn't say, oh, the angels are rejoicing. No, it says, in the presence of the angels, there is rejoicing. So if the angel's not rejoicing, then who is it? It's God. He's up there just having a party. And the angel's just watching him like, man, God, you must love that person. You're just throwing it down there. I mean, you got the disco music going on, got the ball in the middle of heaven. Just a huge party in heaven. Every time someone comes to know Jesus, you know why? Because we and lost people, they are valuable to God. They're valuable. You know, I think about Jesus' life, and I think about just kind of what he does. And just when you read the Gospels of Jesus, we begin to understand and we begin to see that Jesus, he went out searching for people all the time. And he lived life as if he had like 3D glasses on. It was almost if he was in the movies and he was watching the stories of people's lives and they jumped off the screen and he began to see a deeper dimension of these people's lives. A couple months back, I went to go see Superman. And Superman is just one of my favorite heroes and just love him. And I love going to watch movies in 3D. So I went to go watch Superman, and I didn't have the glasses on at first because sometimes it gives me a headache when you go watch these 3D movies when you have those glasses on. So I was just watching the screen. It was a good movie. It was going on. But then I put on those 3D glasses. Superman left that screen and gave me a hug. It was awesome. You know what I'm saying? It was like, oh, he's right here. What's up? You know? Because here's the deal. Like, when you have these 3D glasses, you get a deeper dimension of someone's life. And honestly, I believe that Jesus had like these spiritual cosmic 3D glasses that he didn't just see the woman who lost her son at a funeral, but he saw a lady who was by herself, who was hurting and who was in desperate need of a God. Like, he didn't just see someone who needed healing, but he's seen someone who needed healing on the outside, but also on the inside. And I believe that God, he wants us to view people in a 3D aspect. I love these 3D glasses right here. They're just, you know, they're pretty. Oh, wow, these are pretty awesome. Wow. Wow. Kathy Kaufman is about to kiss me in my cheek right now. It's just, you know, because all of you are just kind of jumping off the screen towards me right now. It's just weird. Woo. It's crazy. Move back, Kathy. Move back. But these 3D glasses, we get a deeper dimension of people's lives when we put them on. Because we don't just pass people by anymore. Like the FedEx guy, I just don't pass him by. He doesn't come in the office, drop off a package, and just leave. When the FedEx guy comes now, I see a man who's in need of a savior. when Brittany was pregnant, she's put me on these late night runs to McDonald's, right? And she wanted an Oreo McFlurry. That's what she wanted. And there was this one girl that was there all the time, same time. And I never told her about Jesus. I never told her that God loves her. Well, if I put my 3D glasses on, I'm pretty sure that she probably was a single mom trying her best to make it in life. And she needed a church family to support her. Pretty sure if I go to Walmart and see somebody working really hard, it probably somebody who just has crushed dreams in life and just needed some encouragement. You just don't pass people by anymore when you look at them in 3D. You see their stories, you see their pain, and you begin to walk past people and like, whoa, 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 hey, I can't let you pass by saying, hey, Jesus loves you, man. Do you want to know Jesus? Because we begin to get a deeper dimension of their life when we begin to operate life in 3D. So here's how you can live life in 3D. First one is this. First D is this. You develop friendships. You find people who need to know Jesus. You know, for me, I've been a Christian since I was in the 10th grade. So I've been a Christian long enough that I really don't have a lot of friends who are not Christians. I just don't. You know, I don't come across a lot of people, especially me. I work at a church, and so I just don't have a lot of non-Christian friends. So I need to be super intentional about reaching out to people. I just have to. There's this one student who's in the youth group, and he was just trying to just, you know, I preached a sermon similar to this months back inside the youth ministry on Wednesday night. And he wanted to respond to it. He said, man, I just don't really know a lot of people. A lot of my friends already go to other youth groups and things like that. So I just don't know what to do. So this is what he did. He said he began to find one person a week that he did not know. And he would go to them and he would say, hey, do you have a smartphone? And the person would probably say, yes. Hey, you should download this app. It's called Everyday Cornerstone. It's our church app here. And so he did it once a week, and he just tell people to download the app. He didn't tell them about Jesus. He said, just download this app. It's called Everyday Cornerstone. Just walk around to random people, download this app, Everyday Cornerstone. Well, this past Advent season, we were talking about the hope of Christ and things like that. And so this one person that he told to download the app actually read it for that one day. And that person went home and showed his parents, said, hey, man, we're struggling right now. We can't buy Christmas presents. But there's a hope, and this app says it's in Jesus. the kid who goes to our youth group, he was floored when he heard that story. He's just super intentional about this, meeting people that didn't know Christ and tell them to download the app. Secondly, not only are we supposed to develop friendships, but we are to discover their stories. Discover their stories. There was this one family who wanted to, they really wanted to be a blessing to people. They just wanted, they hear sermons like this. And no, when we hear sermons like this, we're like, that's a good word, Pastor Travis. But then we go home and just kind of, just normal life because we're busy and got things to do. So this one family said, we didn't want that to pass us by. So what they did is that every other week on a Friday night, they ordered pizza, right? They ordered two large pizzas and the family would eat pizza. But then they would kind of sacrifice some of their entertainment money for the month, and they would give the delivery man a large tip, like a $50 tip. So they did that for, and they did it for 2 weeks, and it was the same. They noticed it was the same guy, and the same guy was there. They're like, whoa, he's getting it, right? And so the wife said, let's just keep on blessing them. And so he came a third time, and the family said, hey, man, we just want to let you know we're praying for you. That's it. Thank you. Gave him a tip. Boom. Gone. Next time, the fourth time, hey, we're still praying for you. Anything we can pray for you about? Hey, yeah, my wife, she's looking for a job, and we don't really have a lot of money. We're still trying to pay rent. Next time they came, gave him $100. And it was just awesome what they did. So they sacrificed. They had no entertainment. All they had was pizza for the month. You couldn't watch movies. Couldn't do anything fun for the month. So months later, it was around Christmas season. And every day, every other week, the guys would come, and they used to give them an encouraging word, like, hey, man, God loves you. Hey, you just need to pray whenever you feel like you're weak. Just talk to Jesus or whatever. Give them a little mini 30-second little talk. So it was around Christmas time, and they didn't order pizza that day. Their family was they had family in town, just enjoying family and just kind of having a good time, and they were inside their living room, and the doorbell rang. And there was a pizza man with two boxes of pizza. And he said, you know what, I know you don't got to give me a tip, you don't got to pay for this, but I just needed to come to church this week. They were his church. All because it's just, they decided, hey, we're going to take away from our entertainment budget every month, and we're going to bless the pizza man. I don't know, months later, they invited the pizza man to church. Pizza man now is a deacon inside that church. Here's why. Because they became the church to that pizza man. You know, it's small things like that we do. We need to develop friendships. We need to really understand that we need to kind of reach out to people. We need to discover their stories. They continue to give to that man. They continue to give to him because they knew his story. They knew that, hey, his wife was looking for a job. Things were tight at home. Just trying to deliver pieces and make money and make do, trying to pay the bills. And thirdly, to live life in 3D, we discern what's next. And sometimes that means we need to pray and ask God, how can I be a blessing to the lost people around me? How can I just bless them? And I just want to encourage you today that, man, there's so many people who don't know Jesus around us, and they probably don't want to know him, and they probably don't want to hear you talk about him, to them especially. But their response to you doesn't really matter. God wants you just to search for them and keep searching until they find you. I mean, that pizza man is a deacon. I'm not sure where he's at in life. I'm not sure if he's still living for God or whatever. But what I do know is that family searched, and they were willing to light their lamp and give up their oil, their resource, to find him. They were even willing to get messy. Pretty sure it caused them to be a little financially tight at home. Probably couldn't do some of the things they wanted to do. Maybe a little strain on the marriage. They're willing to give up all of that so the pizza man can know about Jesus. Can we pray? Jocelyn says yes. Jesus, thank you for who you are. I pray, God, that you just may touch us, Lord God. I pray, God, that we just may be people who search for lost people, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you just may use this story, this woman who searched with passion, that she may motivate us to search with passion too. Jesus, we thank you that you found us, Lord God, that you searched for us, God. Lord, we pray that you may bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So as you all leave today, we want to give you the gift of these 3D glasses. Hey, don't go driving in these, all right? Don't do that. Bad idea. But hey, this is what we want to do. We want you guys to put these on a place where you pass by every single day. It could be in your drawer, in your nightstand, or inside the bathroom, or whatever. But let these 3D glasses remind you that we are to live life in 3D, that we are to develop friendships, we are to discover their stories, and we are to discern what's next and how we can be a blessing to lost people around us. And we just pray that these next few weeks that we may begin to be a church that cares more about lost people than what we do now. You know, it's funny because what we do is that oftentimes we just come to church and we go home. Church, home. Church, home. I think God wants us to go to church and then go search. Go to church and then go search. In first service, I did like a hip-hop dance to this song. Like, go to church and then go search. And go to church. Whatever you do before you can remember it, go to church and go search, Bob Brown. I love Bob Brown. So, did you receive the word today? Did you receive the word? Amen. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to, hey, if there's anyone in here, towards the end of the service, we're going to have the prayer ministers up here. And that's anyone in here. You say, you know what? Hey, I'm that lost coin. I mean, I need to come to Jesus. And you have never given Jesus Christ your life. Today can be a great day for you. And we want to encourage you to come up to the front and pray with our prayer ministers. And if that's you, you need some encouragement, you need prayer, just hard times. We want you to come and just have somebody pray with you and believe God for greater things in your life as you leave today. And so as you leave, make sure you get a pair of 3D glasses. Let's close by saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God bless you all. Prayer ministers, can you come to the front for us? Thank you.